Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Lakelink, your online fishing resource. I'm Dan Small. I'm here in the studio with Mr. Hardwater Jeff Kelm, and we have a new giveaway this week. In honor of turkey season, we have a DVD by Dan Infault of huntingbeast.com called Extreme Turkey Tactics Run and Gun. It's a pretty amazing video, and we'll tell you how to get in on the drawing in just a bit. We also have a special offer from two of our sponsors this week, discounts if you mention the show, and we'll tell you how that works as well. And don't forget, if you happen to miss the show on your favorite station or just want to hear something again, Outdoors Radio is available 24/7 at lake-link.com/DSO Radio. It's time for the Madison Outdoors Report, brought to you by Red Paw Performance Dog Food, the fuel of Iditarod champions. And joining us on the Red Paw Performance Dog Food Call of the Wild line is Duffy Kupf. Duffy, good to talk with you again.
Nice to hear from you, Dan.
Now, I don't imagine things have changed too drastically since we talked to you a couple of weeks ago, but what's going on now?
Well, not a whole lot. I've spent a little bit more time on the water, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've had inconsistent runs of inconsistent weather.
Boy,
and fish like 3 days of very consistent weather in order for them to really get active. I spent 2 days in this past week up on Lake Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Things are still kind of tough and inconsistent. I did get into the first day I went up there, a fairly decent bass bite on some of the bays on the north side. You know, I found some 58 degree water and there were some active bass. So that was kind of fun. But the next time I went up, I caught one.
Mm.
So that really dialed down too. But I talked to some other guys that were doing a lot of trolling, and they had some success on the walleye and the saugers trolling crankbaits in 4 to 6 feet of water. I thought it would have been deeper, but that's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, now we move right over to the river.
Yeah,
the muskie bite is still on. I would like to encourage anybody that goes up there, if they're fishing for walleyes or some other species and they accidentally catch a muskie, please treat them carefully. They're a great resource. I have personally witnessed people that treat them like trash fish. And,
really?
I don't take too kindly to that myself.
No. I mean,
walleyes are still being caught, and some are still. In fact, I talked to a guy today that caught sauger, and she was still full of roe.
No kidding. Huh.
So I'm guessing she's not going to be able to spawn, and that will be reabsorbed in the process. And I don't think it was a very good spawn this year up on the river. But you could still get up there and catch them. And remind people that you don't have to fish within a couple of hundred yards of the dam in order to catch fish.
Right.
Up by Sauk City. You go all the way down to that old railroad trestle over there, and you can still catch fish.
Well, that's the case.
Some guys are catching crappies where Highway 113 goes over the north side of the Yahara River on the north end of Mendota. I think on all of Madison Lakes, the panfish have just been had their suitcases packed, and they're just moving in and moving out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the sheephead are in shallow, so if you're in the sheephead,
nice.
I'm sure you can come up with a couple of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked to another guy that I know that likes to wade, and the water level is down on the lakes around here, and you can wade the sandbar out there by University Bay, and he's been catching some bluegills out there. The water is really cleared up. It's very clear. One guy I talked to, he said you can clearly see the bottom in 13 feet of water. But the water level is very, very low because of that work they're doing on a dam somewhere down the line. And I think that's going to come to an end pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully good days are ahead on that, on the water level. Because putting on a couple of places, I don't even put my motor down. I just put my trolling motor in and get past the break wall and then put my motor down and start her up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be careful, obviously, when the lakes are a little lower. You know, that was the case up in Door County for a few years, and people were tearing up lower units if they could launch, you know, in places. Now, when the bass are shallow one day and you can't catch them the next day, what do you do, or what should you do?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. Number one is go after a different species
up
there.
Yeah.
Which usually is what I do. I will start out when I go up there, and I will, there's some troughs, some like 16-foot troughs and stuff. I will drag some crankbaits through there, or I will vertically jig. I'll get a knuckleball jig and put some gulp on there, or use a blade bait. That still is being successful up there. And if I can't contact them, then I'll go into the bays and start looking for either pike or for bass. And actually, as I started out, I was looking for some of those toothy critters going after with spoons and stuff. But sure. Then I connected with a smallmouth on that spoon. So Then I thought, well, that kind of changes the plan a little bit. And I found some warmer water up in Wiggins Bay. And, I think the three bass probably averaged about 16 inches. But it still was fun to finally catch some fish. It's been a little bit of a draw on my ego here the last couple of weeks.
All right. Well, I'm sure things are going to pick up. And we need to move on, Duffy. So we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. All right.
Very good. Nice talking to you, Dan.
You bet. That was Duffy Kupf, and this was the Madison Outdoors Report, brought to you by Red Paw Performance Dog Food on the web at redpawdogfood.com. More Outdoors Radio in just a bit.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
You can call us anytime at 414-297-7554 to enter our weekly giveaway, suggest a guest, or leave us a message. And you can also email us at outdoorsradio@gmx.com. Tell us what you want to hear on Outdoors Radio. Well, Jeff, what I want to hear is how was that carp tournament last Sunday? You mentioned last week that you were actually going to fish in a carp tournament, and I understand you did. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was in Two Rivers. It was ABC, all big carp. It's a catch-and-release hook-and-line carp tournament. And myself and 14 other people participated in that nasty weather.
It wasn't a pleasant day.
We had thunder showers come rolling in a couple of times. Nothing to the point where we had to bring everything in. I mean, the lightning really stayed away. We got real lucky with that. But we had wind in every direction you can think of hit us. Just downpours of rain. There wasn't too many points where you were just comfortable. You know, even if you're wearing rain gear, just all that moisture in the air, you're just not comfortable.
Yeah. Now, speaking of lightning, you were using, what, 12 or 15-foot long
12-foot
graphite rods, which would be, I mean, that's a lightning rod if I ever saw one.
And wouldn't you know it, that every time we had one of these thunderstorms come rolling through, of course one of the alarms would go off and there's a fish on. You take that risk of, okay, do I pick up this rod and start fighting this fish, or do you let it go? But fortunately, we really didn't have it severe enough where we felt that we were in immediate danger. Okay. So we would grab the rods and fight the fish, and had a fantastic time. The buddy that went up with me, Aaron Berg, he's got a horseshoe somewhere because it seems like every fishing contest he enters, he does well in. He won the Wisconsin Ice Fishing League series year.
Yeah.
This is his first year ever doing those. He's taken second place in multiple muskie tournaments for just showing up and entering.
He's a big muskie angler.
And he's come and done these carp things with me. He took second place against these guys that all come up from Chicago and from, I mean, all different places.
Seriously.
Yeah. And we do too.
Well,
I mean, we're
just
in it for,
into it.
Yeah, but we're just getting into it. We're newbies. This is the first one. And he takes second place. He caught a big 31-pounder to round out the day.
Wow.
I mean, 31-pound carp. Just imagine a 31-pound king salmon. And you know, that's the size type of carp you're catching.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big fish. Imagine a 31-pound kid.
Anything.
Yeah.
a little hog, even.
Yeah.
Dead weight on the line. Now, this is the tackle that you got from Bank Fishing Systems. We talked to John Means a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
How is that tackle working?
It's working great. I mean, we understand that the tackle we've got allows us to cast much further, much more accurate. The rods and reels are working out great. The bait runner reels work perfect every time. We haven't had any kind of a failure. It allows the fish to take that line without even knowing. A couple cranks of the handle, and you're locked in and fighting the fish on your regular drag. And the pods work well. The alarms. A couple of the people had seen our alarms prior to and said, I don't know if they're going to hold out through the rain. And all day long, man, they worked great every time. That's so neat. It was cool. Yeah, and Bank Fishing Systems make some nice stuff. So.
All right. And did you do any other fishing?
No, but turkey hunting this weekend.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the last couple of days and this weekend. Yeah. So not going to say anything yet, and I'm going to jinx myself, and we'll talk about it next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I've got a permit for this weekend, too, so we'll be out there, both of us. Now, I did a little steelhead fishing a week or so ago with Kevin Nazi, a friend of mine from Algoma. He writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette. He took me to a couple of his secret little, they're not secrets, we ran into other fishermen, but smaller streams that feed Lake Michigan, and we found a pod of steelhead. Took the TV crew, and managed. I hooked one on the first cast, almost first or second cast, and of course, camera running and everything. The fish jumped and broke off. Just pulled the hook out.
Yeah,
and then it was an hour or so after that. We had a couple more hookups. Didn't get any right away, and then Kevin finally landed one about when we're running out of tape because my camera guy was rolling on every cast, wanting to catch the strike and everything. And we got the fish, got it in, and I was going to take a couple still shots with it after we finished the TV show, and I fumbled it into the water and lost it. And later, Kevin and I went on to another stream, and we caught one more fish, and I fumbled that one into the water.
Wow.
I was 0 for 2.
Wow.
But he managed to get another one that I hung on to, got some still photos, so those will appear on the newsletter. And I actually took one fish home, and I think he fished a few hours after that and caught a couple more, too. So I think the run is pretty much over. It was early this year.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure it kind of trickled in, too.
Well, I think they came up early with the early rain that we had, and then they've been here. This rain that we got earlier this week has brought any more fish up or not, I don't know. I haven't had time to check, and I don't know that I will now with turkey season going.
Right.
But, you're talking about learning how to carp fish. You know, there's the All-Star Walleye School at McCoy's Inn on Minnesota's Mille Lacs Lake. It's going to be happening in August, and it's 2.5 days of seminars and on-water training with all-star instructors. We talked to Chip Lear last week and learned a little bit more about it. But if you missed that show, Mark Kortz, Kevin McCoy, Paul Moline, Bill Shimoda, and Brian Brosdahl are some of the all-star instructors. It's August 9th through 12th, and you can register online if you want at allstarwalleyeschool.com. All right, to get in on this week's giveaway, give us a call at 414-297-7554 or email us at outdoorsradio@gmx.com. Leave your name and number and just mention the Hunting Beast DVD giveaway. Max Motors is back. Get your motor tuned up at Max, located on South Kinnickinnick in St. Francis, and mention Dan Small Outdoors Radio and get a 5% discount this spring. So stop at Max, talk to Jeff, and mention our show, and you'll get a discount. Trophy Bag Coolers also has a special offer for April and May. If you order online or by phone, you'll get a 10% discount if you mention the promo code DAN. So check them out online, trophybagcoolers.com. Their square-sided soft coolers will hold a turkey gobbler and keep it chilled for several days until you can get it home and process it. Mention promo code DAN, and you'll get a discount through May. Well, we got a great show, Jeff.
Yeah, Ted Dick will join us, the grouse coordinator for the Minnesota DNR and the Rough Grouse Society. Madison author Jim Galligan will join us. Madison author John Galligan will talk about Trout Fishing Mystery Series, the set of books that he writes, and Joe Henry, executive director of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods Tourism Bureau, will join us to talk about the fantastic sturgeon and walleye fishing coming up on Lake of the Woods. All that and more right after this on Outdoors Radio.
More anglers are discovering the walleye capital of the world, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. Jeff and I invite you to discover why so many anglers are going to Lake of the Woods, the premier walleye lake in the continental United States. 50-plus modern full-service lodging facilities await you with delicious food and lakeside bars. Bring your own boat or jump on a charter. Fishing is hot right now with high numbers of fish and big trophies. Check out the latest fishing report on the web at lakeofthewoodsmn.com or call 800-382-FISH.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Bring the family for a day of fun and celebrate Earth Day, Sunday from 11 to 4 at Pantheon Homegrown Farms on Ganesi Lake Road in Oconomowoc. Walk the nature trail, tour the farm and greenhouse, learn about recycling, and enjoy arts and crafts and games for kids of all ages. Shop for annuals, perennials, hanging baskets, and blue spruce seedlings. It's all happening Sunday, 11 to 4 at Pantheon Homegrown Farms on Ganesi Lake Road in Oconomowoc. For information, call Mary McGuire at 262-490-4688. That's 262-490-4688.
Welcome to the Pearly Gates.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why I'm here. I was fishing with some buddies, went to net the fish, next thing I know...
Says here you weren't wearing your life jacket.
Nah, we never do.
Yeah, of course you don't.
Today's life jackets are more comfortable, less bulky, and much more appealing. Oh, and they can save your life, too.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, there's a whole group of you on Cloud 6.
When you get in the boat, wear it, Wisconsin. A message from the DNR.
Hey, mateys, it's back by popular demand, the Bay Area Appreciation Days at the America Inn in Ashland. It's time to get away and relax. Just pick the suite of your choice. Then enjoy our water park with four wristbands to Splashland. And top it all off, we'll throw in a shipwreck pizza. Rates starting at just $79.99. So pack up the kids for some fun or just book a quiet suite and relax. It's Bay Area Appreciation Days at the America Inn of Ashland. Call now 682-9950 or 800-634-3444.
Hey, Dad, Northland Fishing Tackle's new bionic fishing line is sweet stuff.
Blue Fire Ball Northland's bionic line is super strong and nearly invisible. Whether we're catching panfish,
3-pound test, 5-pound test,
or walleye,
7-pound test.
You got it, son. Bionic has the right line size and color for all of them. We'll get more bites with bionic and VisiClear Aquaflage and Coverflage. The fish can't see it. It's tougher than me, son.
There's not much tougher than you, Dad.
No, son, there ain't.
Got one.
It's the fisherman's favorite.
Battlefish all day on Northland Fishing Tackle's bionic fishing line.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm here in the studio with Jeff Kelman. Our show is brought to you by Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. They are the walleye capital of the world. You can find out more on the web at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. And joining us now on the Red Paw Performance Dog Food Call of the Wild line is the Executive Director of Lake of the Woods Tourism Bureau, and that's Joe Henry. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
Dan, it's my pleasure.
Now, Lake of the Woods has been a longtime sponsor of the show, and this is the first time you've had a chance to talk with us. And why don't you tell our listeners why you folks consider Lake of the Woods the walleye capital of the world?
You know, I'll tell you, Dan, I grew up in central Minnesota in the St. Cloud area, mm-hmm. and I personally have been going to Lake of the Woods over 20 years
wow.
before I became the director of tourism. You know, I passed up a lot of great waters in Minnesota to go up there. And I've also fished tournaments throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I've guided on Lake Erie, and I've done different things. And, you know, with fishing tournaments around the United States for good walleye waters. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great water out there. But I'll tell you, month to month, numbers of fish and size of fish, Lake of the Woods, I believe have them beat. You know, we don't have a dog days. You know, when our August hits, people come up specifically to Lake of the Woods in August to do the bite with the lead core line and
mm-hmm.
the deep jigging bite and
mm-hmm.
the pulling harnesses on rock reefs. And, I mean, I can go by month to month, Dan, and talk about how great the fishing is, and it just doesn't stop. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you talk about trophy fish, I know a lot of people love to go to a body of water where they have a chance to catch a big walleye. You know, we have 30-plus inch fish coming in all the time,
mm-hmm.
with many 33-inch walleyes coming in,
mm-hmm.
and that's a trophy fish, man. I don't care where you go,
it's
huge.
It is anywhere. Now, month to month, the fishing is good, and in fact, I understand it's hot right now.
It's been really hot, yeah. You know, we like everybody else, we had a milder winter than normal. So our ice fishing was really, really incredible. And then on the Rainy River, which is the river that feeds Lake of the Woods, the ice goes out a little bit quicker than the lake. So anglers have the opportunity to jump in their boats in the spring and do some walleye fishing. And the walleye fishing was just insane. I mean, it was literally go out in an hour, catch your limit of fish, and, you know, you'll get the big fish mixed in. And in addition to the walleye fishing, it's kind of fun because we have a fantastic sturgeon fishery in the springtime. And walleye season just closed yesterday for the spring, but then it opens up again May 12th, which is a Minnesota fishing opener. But right now you can go out on the Rainy River and catch sturgeon and a big northern pike. And the sturgeon fishery is really kind of a neat deal. You know, if people haven't done it, I mean, you come up and you anchor out, and it's just a mild current, you know, and not too much of one. And you anchor up with a big sinker and a hook full of night crawlers and hang on, because these dinosaurs will rip that rod out of your hand. Huh. Really a lot of fun. And the fish have been super active.
Uh-huh. Now, you mentioned the anglers launching their boats. Do most people bring their boat up, or do they charter when they get there?
You know what? A little bit of both. And we, you know, obviously, we welcome both. We have lots of really good public accesses with, you know, dock space and lots of parking spots so folks can bring their own boat if they'd rather bring their own. Some folks say, you know what, I have my boat, but I want to throw three other buddies in the car or my family in the car and just come up and not have to worry about anything that first trip up. So what they'll do is they'll come up, and many, many of our resorts have charter boats. You know, it's big 27 and 30-foot charter boats where, yep, you know, these guys are on the fish every single day. They provide the bait, the tackle. They even do a shore lunch for you, and they'll put you on those fish, and it's kind of a no-worries deal. And, you know, Dan, it's nice, too, because, you know, you can do a package deal very, very reasonably, and when you figure out what it, you know, what it all entails and everything. So everybody does things differently. What I see a lot, Dan, is people might come up and do that charter trip initially, and then if they're, you know, if they have their own boat, they might bring that the second time. It depends.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, I have been there. I fished one fall outing on one of the charter boats, caught a lot of walleyes. And Jeff has been threatening to go up there, but you haven't found time in your busy schedule yet, have you?
Yeah, it's tough. It is as tough as I never thought it would be. But I do intend to go up there. It's great, though, following a lot of the lodges and stuff online on Facebook. Most all of them are on there. And to see the fish caught up there and the amount, and you know, of course, I pay a bit more attention during the wintertime than during the summer, but I've seen the pictures of the sturgeon, and I see the pictures of the walleyes, and it's constant, and they're trophies. I mean, what guys spend hours trying to catch, days even trying to catch here in the Winnebago system or the Fox River, you can catch within a day going up there, and then you catch another one by week's end. It's pretty cool.
It is. I'll tell you, the guys, the trophy fish on Lake of the Woods. I mean, it just, you know, some lakes you go to, they're really good walleye fisheries, but you know darn well that if you get a big fish in that system, it might be a 27 and maybe even a 28 incher. But you're on Lake of the Woods, you really do have the potential to catch that 33. I'll tell you, I was talking to a local guide recently, and he was telling me about 10 years ago how he was doing some sucker netting on a branch that comes off the Rainy River, and how, you know, every once in a while he gets some walleyes in the net because they're up there spawning and stuff too. And he had to pull out of his net a fish that was over 37 inches.
Oh, my God.
Scores was a state record. I believe it, because the fishery is just so strong. And even the fish that are the 19, 20, 22 inches, whatever, they're healthy. They're like footballs. They're just very, very healthy fish. And, you know, I got to tell you, too, guys, that in talking to not only the DNR, but also resort owners who have lived in the lake their entire life, now, everybody's saying right now that the fishery is healthier than it's ever been. And I think, you know, in talking to some of the old-timers there, a couple things. Number one, there's no commercial netting either on the Canadian or the U.S. side of the lake. That helps. And, of course, the other thing is the slot limit they've put on Lake of the Woods, which just absolutely makes sure that we're going to have that fishery for years to come. So our slot limit on Lake of the Woods is, you know, you can keep the fish up to 19.5 inches, and then 19.5 to 28 inches, you must return to the water immediately.
Sure.
And that's kind of our seed capital to ensure our good fishery.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can keep one trophy per day that's over 28 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great. You know, we're getting all different year class fish, too. I mean, we're getting the huge all the way down to the real small fingerling. So, I mean, the fishery's in really good shape.
Well, that's...
And I should tell you, too, that, you know, the sauger fishing, you know, we have sauger as a bonus. And, you know, I'll tell you something. Our sauger right now are running, you know, 17 inches. I mean, they're nice.
Oh, that's good eating size. Yep.
Yep.
Now, we talked a lot about the fishing. It's also a family-friendly place. You have state parks, you have beaches, pools at many of the resorts.
Yep. You know, I mean, let's face it, most people come to Lake of the Woods to fish, but mm-hmm. it's kind of neat. If you want to bring your family, hey, you can stay at a place that has a pool. We also have Zippo Bay State Park, which is really kind of a neat place to go hiking and things like that. A lot of people will come up and go blueberry picking. I know we have a wild rice farm in the area that people will go and maybe take tours of. Right in the town of Barrette, we have Willie Walleye, which is a great big walleye. It's kind of our monument down there. And, you know, we've got lots of parks, good shopping, great restaurants. You know, many of the resorts have fantastic restaurants and neat little taverns or bars to go into to just kind of round out your stay. You know, one of the things I always enjoy is going out and, you know, catching a bunch of fish and things, but, you know, afterwards coming in with friends and family and enjoying it at a nice restaurant or, you know, maybe a log cabin type atmosphere that just kind of adds to the North Woods.
All right. Well, Joe, we have to move on, but we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks and see how those big sturgeon are showing up. All right?
Dan, that sounds fantastic.
All right. Thanks so much. That was Joe Henry, Executive Director of Lake of the Woods Tourism Bureau, and this portion of our show brought to you by Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. Learn more on the web at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. More Outdoors Radio in just a bit. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Jeff Kelm is here in the studio with me, and our show is brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society. They're celebrating more than 50 years of habitat management for young forest wildlife, and you can find more on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And joining us now on the Red Paw Performance Dog Food Call of the Wild line is Ted Dick. He's the grouse coordinator with the Minnesota DNR and Ruffed Grouse Society. And, Ted, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you.
Well, we had you on the show a couple of years ago, and when you were just starting this unique position. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your job? You're a biologist, and you work for the DNR and the Grouse Society. How does that work?
Right. Well, technically, I'm a Minnesota Department of Natural Resources employee, but mm-hmm. over the last year and a half, the Ruffed Grouse Society has funded a part of my position. I sort of do some of the work that an RGS biologist might do in another state, and where our goals are compatible here in Minnesota, I kind of work for both RGS and the Minnesota DNR.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we went on the air, Jeff was joking about the title coordinator. What did you say?
I said that he must be the one that puts the grouse where they're supposed to be when they get hunted, right?
Yeah.
That tree over there is where we put one, and that tree over there is where we put one.
Yeah, but one thing about grouse is there really is no stalking of birds, is there?
No, there isn't, and that's one of the questions we get fairly frequently here in the emails, that mm-hmm. I'm interested in stalking grouse on my property. And it's something that comes up frequently because people do it with other species.
Sure.
We know that. But with grouse, it really doesn't work. They've never found a way to raise them in a way that would make it economically feasible. So it's good habitat and having a good land base and access to it, and then an active forest industry are generally the ways we make more grouse. Stocking just doesn't pay.
Mm-hmm. And habitat work, of course, is a lot of what your job is about, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, people, the forestry and active timber industry, grouse depend on a good component of young forest habitat, and a lot of that we can get done, fortunately, through timber management. But what a grouse coordinator and what the DNR wildlife biologist in the forested part of the state can do is work with the foresters, both DNR foresters and other foresters, to make sure that when timber sales are done and when harvesting is planned, that it's done in such a way that maximizes the number of grouse that can be produced in that area, plus, you know, take into consideration the other values too. But we like to make sure that there's leave islands left out there so they have winter budding trees, and that the sales are a good size, so they have generally the thing we like is different age classes of hardwood species in a certain area, some winter aspen for budding, some young aspen for brood habitat, and when we work with the foresters, we think we can make that habitat more hospitable for grouse and produce higher numbers.
Mm-hmm. Now, you sent me some information prior to our calling you, and one of the reports that you sent was kind of troubling. It said that the Fish and Game Fund there in Minnesota might be insolvent by next July. How would that impact your work if that happens?
Well, that would have a big impact on my work and all of the work for the DNR Division of Fish and Wildlife. One easy example that grouse hunters would appreciate is that our drumming counts would probably be eliminated. There's there's some discussion in the legislature, you know, pushing for a heritage initiative, they call it, which is really a fee increase, and the small game license would go up about $3 for a resident license. And if we don't get that, any of the species or any of the surveys that aren't directly related to season setting would probably be eliminated. So our 50 or 60 year tradition of doing spring drumming counts for rough grouse would be taken out of the mix. We wouldn't be able to afford to do that anymore, and a lot of other things too. Maybe this position, grouse coordinator, and the habitat work we do, a lot of those things are in jeopardy because we just don't have the money, since we haven't had a fee increase since about the year 2000. Fuel prices have gone up.
Yep.
A lot of what we do is drive trucks and that kind of thing, and without that increase, a lot of things would get eliminated, including drumming surveys.
Now, what's the mood over there, both among sportsmen and politically? Are hunters in favor of a several-dollar increase, and do you think this will fly?
Yeah, in this day and age, user fees are popular, and this one is definitely a user fee. If you want to take advantage of the fish and game resources, you should have to pay a little more. And there was a group over here that got conservation groups together, and there were 60 groups, including the Rough Grouse Society, that signed on to a letter of support for the fee increase. So it's got broad-based support with the general public and with hunters and anglers. It's just a matter of getting it through the legislature. But we're kind of running out of time here this spring. There isn't a lot of the session left, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's a big deal for us because a lot of positions are being held open already. So some of these offices that only have generally one or two wildlife biologists are working with half of what they normally would. I think most of the stations north of Brainerd and Park Rapids, where I used to work in the Northwest, are short at least one person, and makes it tough to get things done.
It's interesting talking about fee increases that we see that with the Conservation Congress quite often. A lot of questions we always ask here in the state of Wisconsin is, would you be in favor of this increase or that increase to help fund this, that, or the other thing? And I would say it's probably close to about 90%. I don't know the exact number. Are passed by the citizens. They understand fee increases. They understand user fees, and they understand what things cost. They know they don't get it for free. So I think there's definitely support there for increases if they can prove it's going to something worthy.
Right, right. And it would be earmarked. It would be for the work that you do, right? And other,
right. That's one nice thing we have going over here is those are dedicated funds that that can only be spent, license fee money can only be spent on fish and game related things. So it can't be diverted to balancing budgets or doing something else.
Well, let's hope that that passes and that you folks get the boost, the financial boost you need. But you mentioned drumming counts. Any reports yet? Any idea what's going on out there in the woods?
I did one the other day. I went out with a newspaper reporter from St. Paul, and we did one count, and it was up a little bit. But we've learned in the past that people pay attention to the reports, and we don't really like to say anything until we have more data in, but at least that one didn't go down.
Uh-huh.
But we can't really say for sure because we probably do, I don't know, a couple hundred routes between our cooperators and volunteers and employees. But one thing we did do this year with the warm temperatures we had in March, we did leave it up to the discretion of the local managers, but we did tell them to consider moving it up to 10 days or so just to take advantage of the grouse. Just driving back and forth to work and being in the field, you could hear that they were pretty active, and it seemed quite a bit earlier than usual. So our surveys that normally go till May 10th or so would most of them are going to be done substantially earlier this year. But now, today, it took us, my wife and I, an hour and a half to get to the highway from our house because we had 8 inches of snow last night and trees down over the road. So
oh
it's back to winter here now. Yeah. Hopefully by the time this airs that the snow will be gone again, but for a while here, we're back in the cold weather.
All right. Well, that's the way it is in the spring here in Wisconsin and Minnesota as well.
Yep.
Well, Ted, thanks so much for talking with us. Good luck with the funding and with your grouse drumming surveys. We hope to have a good report. We'll check in with you later this year because I know a lot of folks from Wisconsin go to Minnesota to fish and to hunt grouse.
Yep, and we think we have good hunting and fishing here, so we'd be happy to talk to you anytime. Give us a call back.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Ted Dick, Grouse Coordinator with Minnesota DNR and the Rough Grouse Society, and this was brought to you by the Rough Grouse Society. Find out more on the web at roughgrousesociety.org. More Outdoors Radio straight ahead.
Spring is here, and now it's time to get your boat and motor ready for another fishing season. Max Motors at 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton in St. Francis, is a small shop that has been doing big things for nearly 50 years. Max is a family-run business that really cares about you, the customer, and your outboard motor. Jeff and his staff at Max work on nearly every type of outboard, and they specialize in older motors. Come to Max for tune-ups, winterizing, and major and minor repairs to outboards and most other small engines. They've got hundreds of replacement props in stock, and the repair lights and repack bearings on trailers too. Max sells Wisconsin-made products like MiroCraft boats, Johnson outboards and props, Caravan boat trailers, Duraglass duck skiffs, and Cedar Ridge canoes, along with pre-owned boats, canoes, outboards, trailers, and other marine items. Get your outboard ready for spring fishing at Max Motors, 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton in St. Francis. Log on to maxmotors.com or call 414-483-4628. That's 414-483-4628.
Mention Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Get a 5% discount now.
Welcome to the Pearly Gates.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why I'm here. I was fishing with some buddies, went in at the fish, next thing I know...
Says here you weren't wearing your life jacket.
Nah, we never do.
Yeah, of course you don't.
Today's life jackets are more comfortable, less bulky, and much more appealing. Oh, and they can save your life, too.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, there's a whole group of you on Cloud 6.
When you get in the boat, wear it, Wisconsin. A message from the DNR.
Hey, boaters, did you know that discharging antifreeze into lakes, rivers, and stormwater drains is illegal and toxic to fish? When you dewinterize this spring, collect the antifreeze from engines and holding tanks. Recycle it at a marine or auto recycling center, or dispose of it in your home drain that goes to a treatment plant, not a septic system. For more instructions and other clean boater tips, visit WisconsinCleanMarina.org. Help protect fish spawning grounds and keep Wisconsin waters clean.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249. Or visit MilfordHills.com.
For the nonprofit Rough Grouse Society, the well-being of the rough grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Rough Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Bring the family for a day of fun and celebrate Earth Day, Sunday from 11 to 4 at Pantheon Homegrown Farms on Ganesi Lake Road in Oconomowoc. Walk the nature trail, tour the farm and greenhouse, learn about recycling, and enjoy arts and crafts and games for kids of all ages. Shop for annuals, perennials, hanging baskets, and blue spruce seedlings. It's all happening Sunday, 11 to 4, at Pantheon Homegrown Farms on Ganesi Lake Road in Oconomowoc. For information, call Mary McGuire at 262-490-4688. That's 262-490-4688.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me here in the studio is Mr. Hardwater Jeff Kelm. And joining us on the Red Paw Performance Dog Food Call of the Wild line is Madison author John Galligan. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've never met Jeff, but his name would fit right into your book. Some of your characters have interesting names and interesting histories, too.
I thought I made that name up. That's somebody's real name, huh?
Yes, it is. And the books we're talking about are a series of trout fishing mysteries. The titles are intriguing. They're named for well-known knots, nail knot, blood knot, wind knot, and clinch knot. And they're set on classic trout rivers, and two of them here in Wisconsin. In fact, I've read Black Earth Creek, the blood knot, which is set on the West Fork of the Kickapoo, and nail knot, which is set on Black Earth Creek. Why did you pick those streams for these stories?
Well, there's the official reason is that, like you said, they are blue ribbon trout streams. The unofficial reason is that they're streams that everyone knows, and I can set a book there without giving anything away.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think I would be unforgiven if I named other waters in a novel. So I picked the waters that everybody already knows about.
And do you talk about? I did not wade the streams with book in hand to see if you got the names of the bends right. Do you take liberties there, or are you accurate as far as naming the geography and the topography of the waters there?
In general, very accurate. I mean, the general naturalistic detail is true to those locales, but I do take liberties with specific, turns in the river, shall we say, whatever's convenient for me. But I'm true to the flora and the fauna and the geography and the geology and the culture and those things.
Right. And speaking of culture, you've taken the town of Avalanche, or the location of Avalanche. I don't think it's officially anything more than a crossroads and a location in Wisconsin. And you've created a whole a valley full of characters. I can't imagine they all sprang directly from your imagination. Were some of them based on real people?
Not exactly, although there are some very colorful people in that area.
There are, yes.
There is I don't know if it's officially a town, there's a sign that says Avalanche, and there's maybe a dozen people or so living there. And, they've lived there all their lives, and their extended families have lived there all their lives. So there's some truth to the sort of the general sociological outline of it, but I really try not to represent specific people in a book, although people always think otherwise. In fact, there's a guy out at Avalanche that is thoroughly convinced that one of those characters is him, and he's a little surly about it.
Well, I talked to one friend there, and he says, I'm not in the book. And I said, okay, I'm not going to try to put a name on you. But your main character, Ned Ogilvy, or Dog, as he calls himself, is a trout bum. Tell us where he came from.
Well, I think partly he came from my own fantasy of being a trout bum. That seems to me like a glorious thing to be. But I wrote a draft of that first novel where the main character was a trout bum who was pretty sophisticated and intellectual and cultured and so forth. And those drafts just didn't go over very well. And I finally came up with the character that exists now by meeting a real trout bum and getting the sense of how tragically your life has to have gone in order to be out there alone fishing.
Mm-hmm.
As wonderful as it sounds, I met a really injured guy who just was fishing himself to death, essentially, and that's where I got the idea.
Mm-hmm. And, I passed a guy, or actually he passed me, on Highway 23 in Sheboygan about a month ago, who could have been the model for your character, because he had trout bum on the back of a cap on a camper cap on a small truck, and I can't remember what state his license plate was from, but he was an older guy, and he was obviously fishing the steelhead season because nothing else was going on at the time, but. I wonder if that was the guy. Tell us a little bit about Dog. What happened to him? What's he doing? What's he trying to accomplish?
He's somebody who's had a respectable life. He's a person that was upper middle class, living in the East Coast, successful businessman who had a family tragedy and blamed himself for it and decided that he was going to disappear and heal himself. He, somewhere along the line, he read the Hemingway story, Big Two-Hearted River,
sure.
which is about a young man who goes up into the UP with war injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's Hemingway, so none of this is ever stated, you know, directly, but he is trying to find his way back, essentially, or not. And my character sort of took that as his signal to go out and heal himself by interacting with nature through fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it doesn't, not that easy, and he runs into all kinds of situations that really challenge him and stretch him, but he's not able to go home healthy, at least not through four.
Not through four novels.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, if he stuck to the fly fishing, and he tries to, he'd probably be fine. But the first two books, he stumbles one, literally, comes around a bend in Black Earth Creek, and there's a guy floating dead. And there's a body in the second novel as well. And, of course, he gets tangled up in trying to solve the mystery and ends up helping that happen, actually resolving a lot of, chasing a lot of red herrings and you know, dead ends, but playing a major role in solving it at the end. Is this a pattern that the other two that I haven't read actually follow as well?
More or less. The third one is similar to that, although in the third one, it's actually a person that he's befriended.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young man in Montana that he's made friends with and is helping learn to fish, who ends up that young man's girlfriend ends up dead, and the young man is blamed for it. So
mm-hmm.
he's a little closer to that situation. In the fourth novel that takes place in the UP of Michigan, he's actually the suspect.
Uh-huh.
So there is a body, and it's presumed that he's done it. So.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, are you working, you say, through four he hasn't healed himself. Are you working on a new mystery?
He did get up to the UP in the fourth and discover that there wasn't the Big Two-Hearted River, so now he's a little bit stymied on that. But I'm working on a different series, unrelated to this series, but I'm also starting the research on a fifth version of this book that is going to take place in Pennsylvania.
Aha, uh-huh, okay. When might that one be ready?
It's going to be a year or two.
Uh-huh.
They usually take me about 2 years, including all the fishing that's required to research the book.
And, of course, you've got to fish those streams or you can't write about them
absolutely
accurately. Yeah, that's they are a great read. And I must say, and I told you this when we met a month or so ago, that I don't have time to read, but my wife and I spend a lot of time driving, and she reads to me while I drive and keeps me awake, and it also allows me to, you know, to be entertained, and then we both get to read the book. It was really a treat. We actually drove to Avalanche the weekend that we read that book, and drove through Black Earth on the, you know, we changed our route a little bit so that we'd actually pass through those towns. It was really neat, and it was almost like seeing a movie because I had to imagine characters as she read to me. Are there any plans for movies?
I've had feelers. I've had, especially on the third one, The Clinch Knot, which is kind of a bigger canvas story that takes place in Montana. So far, nothing has taken. I really hope for that, though. I'd love for it to go in that direction. And the third and fourth novels, I wrote with that a little bit more in mind. The settings are a little bit more, I would say, I don't know, universal or commonly recognizable, and the themes are a little bigger, and the canvas is a little bigger. The one in Montana, you know, involves the Paradise Valley and the Yellowstone area.
Sure.
And so I've had some interest, but so far no luck.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd love to see the movies because, you know, they're great stories, and I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us today. And your website has more information. Also, you can buy the books on your website, but also where at Amazon and other sources.
Sure, just the normal outlets, and the books have recently also gone up as e-books, so you can get them that way as well.
Ah, okay, great. And your website, of course, is your name, johngalligan.com.
Correct.
All right. Well, John, thanks so much, and good fishing this spring, and we'll look forward to the next book in the dog series.
All right. Thank you, John.
You bet. John Galligan, Madison, Wisconsin author, and the author of a series of very interesting books we've been talking about, his trout fishing mysteries. You can learn more online at johngalligan.com. More Outdoors Radio just ahead.
Dying to get out in a new boat? Hi, this is Alan Bell from Cedar Lake Sales, and I have something that'll make your wait a little shorter. What matters most in a boat purchase? Time and time again, owners say superior durability, exceptional design, and unmatched value. And that's what you get with Crestliner and Mercury Outboards. Crestliner boats that offer more, do more, at a competitive price, and all backed by the industry's only true lifetime warranty. No one does it better than Crestliner, Mercury, and Cedar Lake Sales. Cedar Lake Sales is Southeast Wisconsin's largest Crestliner dealer with a complete line of Fishhawks, Sportfish models, Kodiaks, and Superhawks in stock. And right now, you can save up to $2,200 during Crestliner's Buy Now, Save Big sales event. Cedar Lake Sales has a full-time service department and is one of the best in the nation. We are now winners of Mercury Marine's prestigious service CSI award 6 years in a row. Cedar Lake Sales makes it easy to buy and save money and giving you unbeatable service. Cedar Lake Sales, Highway 33 in West Bend, or fish the net at cedarlakesales.com.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249. Or visit MilfordHills.com.
Hey, Dad! North of Fishing Tackle's new bionic fishing line is sweet stuff!
Blue Fire Fall Northland's bionic line is super strong and nearly invisible! Whether we're catching panfish,
3-pound cat, 5-pound cat,
or walleye,
7-pound cat!
You got it, son! Bionic has the right line size and color for all of them! We'll get more bites with Bionic and Visit Clear Aquaflage and Coverflage! The fish can't see it! It's tougher than me, son!
There's not much tougher than you, Dad!
No, son, there ain't!
Got one!
It's the fisherman's favorite!
Battlefish all day on Northland Fishing Tackle's bionic fishing lines!
More anglers are discovering the walleye capital of the world, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. Jeff and I invite you to discover why so many anglers are going to Lake of the Woods, the premier walleye lake in the continental United States. 50-plus modern full-service lodging facilities await you with delicious food and lakeside bars. Bring your own boat or jump on a charter. Fishing is hot right now with high numbers of fish and big trophies. Check out the latest fishing report on the web at lakeofthewoodsmn.com or call 800-382-FISH.
Hey boaters, did you know that discharging antifreeze into lakes, rivers, and stormwater drains is illegal and toxic to fish? When you dewinterize this spring, collect the antifreeze from engines and holding tanks. Recycle it at a marine or auto recycling center, or dispose of it in your home drain that goes to a treatment plant, not a septic system. For more instructions and other clean boater tips, visit WisconsinCleanMarina.org. Help protect fish spawning grounds and keep Wisconsin waters clean.
Hey mateys, it's back by popular demand, the Bay Area Appreciation Days at the America Inn in Ashland. It's time to get away and relax. Just pick the suite of your choice. Then enjoy our water park with four wristbands to Splashland. And top it all off, we'll throw in a shipwreck pizza. Rates starting at just $79.99. So pack up the kids for some fun or just book a quiet suite and relax. It's Bay Area Appreciation Days at the America Inn of Ashland. Call now 682-9950 or 800-634-3444.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. Thanks once again for joining us. It is brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. We do have a weekly giveaway. It's an Extreme Turkey Tactics Run and Gun DVD by Dan Infault of huntingbeast.com. We'll tell you how to enter the drawing for that DVD in just a minute.
And we have a poll every week on our weekly e-newsletter. And if you don't get that, you can subscribe online at lake-link.com/DSO radio or on my website, dansmalloutdoors.com. Take the poll and leave a comment, and you're in the drawing for another prize. You can read about it on the newsletter. And don't forget the All-Star Walleye School at McCoy's Inn on Minnesota's Lake Mille Lacs is coming up in August with instructors Mark Kortz, Kevin McCoy, Paul Moline, Bill Shimoda, and Brian Brosdahl, our good friend Bro, Register today or learn more online at allstarwalleyeschool.com. Outdoor Wisconsin, my TV show, next week, April 26th or 27th, depending on where you live. I'll fish the spring white bass run on the Fox River with Joel Taylor, and that should be getting underway here pretty soon if it isn't already rolling. That was last year's show, a segment that we taped. Deb Wolniak rides a zip line with Lake Geneva Canopy Tours, and our archival segment, we're looking at Wyoming wildlife at Safari Club International's Granite Creek Ranch in Jackson Hole with Professor Gene Decker.
Our calendar of events can be found online at dansmalloutdoors.com. If you missed anything that you wanted to hear again, or you maybe just caught a portion of today's show, you can check us out 24/7 at lake-link.com/DSO radio. We're on a bunch of different websites. You just Google Dance Small Outdoors, and you will find us there.
We mentioned this week's giveaway, the DVD by Dan Infault of HuntingBeast.com. To enter the drawing, give us a call at 414-297-7554 or email us at outdoorsradio@gmx.com. Well, you've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Jeff, good luck with the turkeys this weekend.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you, and folks, join us again next week for Outdoors Radio. I'll be true.